All right, guys. Today, oh, hi, Shanti. Good to see you. All right. Anyway, 3, 2, 1. Here we go. Today is Thursday, March 21st, 2024, and at about 5:30 or so, give or take. Bob Braxma will be our presenter tonight, and in case you're wondering. No, I'm not Larry, and no, I'm not Walden, nor John, nor Brad. So you guys are stuck with me, unfortunately.
That's
Now,
okay.
n normally at this time, we would have a promo, but Larry did not send a promo. And so therefore, I don't know what's going on STSS, and nor do I know what's going on Yesterday USA. But I'm sure if you tune in, when at the appropriate times, you guys will, eventually find out what's going on in either of those two venues.
You're getting a lot of feedback, Michael. A
Yeah,
lot of feedback.
hang on.
That, and then say it over again so that they can catch you.
Okay. Are we still getting feedback?
Oh, no, you're better now.
We're good.
Okay.
Much better. Thank you, sir.
It wasn't me, though.
Well, it sounded like you were on a CB radio from the 70s.
No,
Exactly. Yeah,
it was
had their
somebody
like
had
crosstalk
somebody's
stuff
on a
going on in the
phone. I
background.
think I, it's
Yeah.
15. The area code is 15539 or something like that. 1539,
Yeah.
and they were unmuted. Anyway, so I don't know. Should I repeat myself?
I would because otherwise he's not gonna, you're gonna catch that all through there.
All right. Okay. Fine. So,
And
all
also, we
right.
weren't really listening, so.
Well,
Oh.
we're 2 minutes in. The date, today's date is March 21st, 2024. You guys are stuck with me for the next, half hour, give or take. Larry and John and Walden and Brad are at reps. And normally at this time we would have a promo, but Larry nor John didn't send one. And I definitely don't know what's going on Y USA. But if you guys tune in at the appropriate times, you guys will, find out accordingly.
This evening, they are broadcasting the recreations that they're doing on reps. I believe it's starting, I think it's starting at 7. I
Okay,
could be
well.
wrong, but he did send an email out to those of us on the Yesterday USA list.
Okay, well,
And
thank you. That's
yeah, I can go
appreciated.
check it if you want, but
No, that's fine. That's fine.
okay. But for
No.
the next 4 days, they're going to be, if you want to catch them, they're going to be broadcasting the reps, recreations, and interviews and goodies
Oh, well, there you go. See?
on the
There you go.
blue channel. They're still under construction, so only the blue channel is working for live streams.
Thank you, Shanti. Anyway, go
You
ahead, Daniel. You were going to say
and your
something?
name is Michael Amaro, and you're the one going to host us this evening.
Well, yes. I
Okay.
said, I think I thought I said my name, but anyway, yeah.
You said
Yeah.
that to start with, but you had all that yeah going on, so it might or might not come out very well. But anyway, we can reiterate that so that way then they can fix that up how they want to.
Exactly.
And he appreciates the help.
And I do appreciate the help, yes.
And I think we were going to listen to a Cary Grant something. It sounds like a suspense. There wasn't any details. It
Well, it's
some
up to
they
Bob if
just
he wants
put
to tell us what it is.
it,
I
that was
mean, yeah.
suspenseful. It was just, hey, Cary Grant came in.
Everybody might leave, so I better just wait till I present it.
Do you want to co-host me, sir?
And
Or did you
you and
already?
I have
All
a show.
right, sir. Thank you, sir. I already did. Yeah, you're a co-host, buddy. Don't worry.
Thank you, sir.
I got you.
I've
Let
got
me
the
double
show
check.
that Mike gave me the show so I can back up there, Bob. So
Hey, thanks.
I've got it just in
So,
case.
okay, I know this has been done before, but I mean, since for lack of, I mean, if you guys want to convert, talk about different topics, we can. But how did y'all get into to OTRs? For myself, I was, I don't know, 13 when I got into this. I started with the CBS RMT. It was all right. It was all right. It wasn't, I have to admit, it wasn't my cup of tea. And it's more so now though than it was at the time. But what really got me hooked on OTR was for me was the Lone Ranger and Sergeant Preston. And I believe the green hairnet, as the doc calls it.
Is that a fast food working situation? The green hairnet?
Well, it's a green hornet, but anyway.
So Michael, okay. Important question for you. When is it that you were 13?
Many moons ago, sir. Many moons ago.
Well, I understand that, and I don't mean that you were between the ages of 12 and 14, but approximately what year was that? Like, was CBS or MT still on the air?
About 89, 90, give or take.
No, they were gone by then.
Okay.
Yeah, they were gone by then. So there were reruns. I mean, there were reruns.
Yeah.
So you got to hear that on the radio, or did you have to get the cassettes, or how did you manage?
No, they were broadcasting them on a local station. It was 710 KMPC at the time.
Okay.
It was an AM station. And forgot who told me about them or what, but it was, I remember it was every night at 7 o'clock.
Nice. And then how did you get the Green Hornet and all the rest of that stuff?
The Green Hornet and the rest of that stuff was on KNX 1070.
Okay.
Yeah, that was they had a drama hour every night from 9 to 10 Pacific time, which would be 11 to 12 Central time. And
so did you buy any of the cassettes, or did you find any in the library or anything? All your stuff was listened to actually on the radio?
So at one point, my mobility teacher, may he rest in peace, bless his heart. He was nice enough to take me to a library in Garden Grove, California, if I remember correctly. And that's where I started checking out OTR shows, which is where I found Gunsmoke and... Have Gun Will Travel was, I think I started listening to that when I found Larry and John on KPCC Pasadena.
And at the library, what was the format of the recordings?
They were just your regular cassette tapes.
Oh, cassette. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would check them out and of course, I didn't know nothing at that point in time. So I was like, Gunsmoke, cool, let's listen to it. And you know, that got me hooked on the Westerns. But I had heard The Lone Ranger for a long time. And of course, I'm more picky than other guys are in terms of, like, for example, The Lone Ranger, the only period I like is the Fred Foy era. Other than that, pre-Fred Foy, it's like, nah, I don't need that. You know, I like the Fred Foy stuff. And same thing with the rest of my stuff. Like, you know, like in terms of Jack Benny, I like the 1945 to 55 stuff. Other pre that, it's like, yeah, okay, fine. I'll listen to it if it's played, but I won't go and grab it. So.
No, I agree. I mean, exactly those same things. So Jack Benny, you know, with Dennis Day, as opposed to, you know, Kenny Baker
or Larry Stevens or whoever was in at the time.
Difference.
Right.
Total difference. Right. Likewise, Lone Ranger with Brace Beamer as the Ranger, as opposed to Brace Beamer as the announcer and Earl Grasser or, you know, any of those other folks. They just didn't bring anything to the character of the Lone Ranger. You know,
actually, I've heard a couple of Earl Grasser, Grouser, and they sound very similar. They Brace and he did. If you focus on their voices, they sound very similar. It's kind of hard to tell them apart, honestly. Well, for me, now I know, but you know, when I first started, I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
And I had sort of a, you know, somewhat similar start to the hobby. I was 12 years old. So, you know, obviously, you know, much more precocious. A friend at school turned me on to CBS or MT. That was mid 70s, so it was still, you know, on the radio. The first OTR show that I heard, same friend had a cassette with Escape, Three Skeleton Key, and that was just about the best place that you can start with old time radio.
Hey, so question for you. Which version of Three Skeleton Key did you hear first?
Oh, you know, it is.
Did you hear the one with Vincent Price or the other one?
The other one.
Okay, so you're probably more keen to that one, right?
I do like it better. I know this is not going to be a popular position, but I'm just not the biggest fan of Vincent Price's voice.
Hey, no power, no problem. I mean, you know, it's that's what makes the world go round, right?
He's a classic in a lot of ways, radio, movies, and stuff. And I have sort of a fondness for him in general, but you know, it's just not, you know, the most amazing voice. So I do like the other one better.
I like I like the Vincent Price better, but that's just me. The Vincent Price version.
Hey everyone.
Hey Maxwell, what's up?
Well, I don't know which one I like better, but I have heard Three Skeleton Key. But the way I got into old time radios was I got an extra cassette with my talking book that I borrowed from my W. Ross McDonald School back in the day, and it had X-1, Tunnel Under the World, and Dimension X, Mars is Heaven. And those two stories captivated me, and then I heard various radio shows. And then another time I heard Lights Out Sub-Basement on the radio and the Green Hornet. And that Lights Out Sub-Basement scared me too. So that's what got me into radio, old-time radio.
Have you read the short story Tunnel Under the World, Max?
Yes.
Okay.
It's well done. It's a bit different, but it's well done.
I read it just the other day. And to me, the X-1 actually made a little bit more sense because he didn't have enough time to really spread the story out the same way that the actual story does. And, you know, it takes a while for the story actually to get going and for you to see what's going on with the people and all that, where the X-1 takes you almost immediately into this thing. And so the Tunnel Under the World, the story, which is kind of unusual for me, was not as well done, I didn't think, as the X-1, because it's a lot more condensed. The action is a lot closer in X-1.
I like the radio version a lot better, but the funny part, oh, I got to mute. I'll be back in a sec.
All right. Which one is Tunnel Under the World? I know I've heard it before. I just don't know which one it is.
The one about the guy with the feckle freezer, and he wakes up screaming every morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was like a model world that was
based on
advertising.
Yeah. And what was
interesting for me with that episode was I sort of had like a little sort of realization that many, you know, I'd say kind of most X-1s were not just science fiction. They were kind of, you know, horror stories where, you know, many of them did not have happy endings. And, you know, it was just like that, like woke up screaming every morning. And then, you know, it had ultimately, you know, definitely not a happy ending. And I realized like many of the episodes are like that. So that was like another, pardon the pun, but another dimension to those stories.
Nightmare is another one of those that doesn't really have a happy ending either.
A lot of them didn't. A lot of them, you know, the you know, whatever it is, the Martians won, the robots won, the computers won, you know, the main, you know, the protagonists of the story or the human race overall
and that was just the science fiction of the times, you know. They were really trying to bring out the electronics and the future, and humanity was kind of pressed into the background because of course we were all going to be there to watch it. So they were really trying to mechanize and mechanic make everything mechanical and futuristic and all this. And so the human element kind of got pressed into the background.
Yeah.
At that point in time. I would love to read all the Galaxy magazines to see what all we missed that, you know, wasn't as popular and it's still out there. So I hope eventually that they'll digitize those magazines so we can see what's out there with that.
Have you gotten any of them from the library from Blind?
No, I've read some. I love to read short stories. I'll read mystery stories and science fiction stories. So we'll grab old or short stories, especially that are on Bard, and find a bunch of, like, The Tunnel Under the World, for example. I didn't even know that was out there till the other day, and then I was like, okay, wow, this is here. So I find a few here and there from Galaxy, just in short story collections.
Because in the 70s, I was getting analog on flexible disc, and I think that I got Galaxy for a while. I couldn't swear to that, but I definitely was getting analog on flexible disc, which, of course, you know, they may very well not have, you know, digitized, you know, things like magazines. Because
I started getting analog in 88 on flexible disc.
Yeah.
I still have it, as a matter of fact. I just have to find a record player to play it. Yep.
Yeah, that'd be an event, because those would be at 8 1/3.
Yeah. I mean, what you can do with them now is you can play them at 33 1/3. You just have to keep slowing them down and eventually you'll get it right.
Well, yeah, depending on what kind of tape machines that you do still,
you can just record it from a record, from the stereo directly into the computer, and then just take your editing software and slow it down.
Ah, okay. You are more talented than I. I'm not familiar with digital audio software that changes speed.
And you just
take
a patch cord and plug it into the back of the computer where you've got an aux in, and just start playing the thing. And then with your editing audio software, you just slow it down until you get it to the correct
speed. No, I understand the you know, physical part of right, you know, plugging it in, but what software do you use that allows you to slow it down?
You can use Studio Recorder. It has a half speed switch that will automatically slow it down from, they're using tape, so it'll automatically slow it down from 1 7/8 to 15/16. But you can also continue to just keep doing that with the record. However fast it is, you just keep half speed until you get it where it needs to be.
Right on.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and you'd only have to do that twice. You would, if you went at 33, half would be
16
and then half again would be at 8. So yeah, right on. Right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I got started in 74 listening to CBS Radio Mystery Theater. I was at the School for the Blind in New Mexico and had a couple of twins that were friends of mine. And for some reason, they got into this. I guess they caught it on the radio or something. Somehow they heard of it. And so we would listen to it on occasion just before going to bed. Bed was at 8:30. And so sometimes we would catch it just to start with. And then I'd be like, okay, you know, either you have a radio and you take it to bed with you, or be sure and tell me what happened, you know, the next morning. And so then at breakfast, they would regale us with whatever happened. As a matter of fact, there is one of them I would love to play. I have no idea what it is. It's called The Smile of Death. And it was very interesting because I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. Of course, we all had to go to bed. And so they each had a radio. And then another friend of mine had a radio. And I'm like, okay, somebody's going to tell me. They all went to sleep. Nobody stayed awake. I have no idea to this day what that story was about at all, because nobody stayed awake for it.
So you don't know. So you don't know whether it was a suspense or an escape or whatever.
It was mystery. It was mystery. Radio mystery
theater.
Yeah,
there,
but I have no idea what the show was about. know the title.
Hang on. I think Shanti was trying to sense something. Go ahead.
There is a channel online that is strictly American. It's Radio Mystery Theater, and he plays all of them. And you will probably find that episode there.
Oh, I've seen it on. There's a website called CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and they have it up there as well.
Yeah. So if you want to hear that one,
I'll have to grab it.
It'll be there.
Anyway, so that was all I had ever heard from OTR, you know, any kind of radio theater. And then when I was in the seventh grade, I think it was, I got these tapes that were redone. They were NBC University Theater, but they had all of this talking before them and everything. They didn't say anything about being radio plays or radio series. It was just, you know, this is who we are. This is how we go. It was kind of an interesting thing because he would do all this announcements and everything before putting on the show. And then the tape would end, or he would end the tape. There was a whole bunch left, but they would end it. And then he would be just like, don't flip it. Don't fast forward it. Flip it over right now. And then we'll continue. And then you flip it over, and then it would go on the other side of the tape to the end of it. So right in probably about three quarters of it, they didn't use that whole side. You just flip it over and start over again. And so I had no idea that those were even radio dramatizations or radio at all. To me, they were just like commercial audio because of the way they repackaged it. So I listened to those throughout the seventh grade, and I kept checking out the same ones over and over because they didn't have very much of a library. And so in the eighth grade, the librarian was like, I sent over to the high school for these. So don't, you know, take real good care of them and all that, because I see that you're checking out the same old, and we just don't have anything else for you. But I sent over to the high school for these things. And, you know, just as soon as you finish with it, check it back in. I'll let you check out the next one and we'll go from there. And then we'll send these back, and then they'll send us some more. So we had like a little mail service going back and forth through the high school. And these were radio shows. And I was like, radio shows? What? And she's like, oh, yeah. She said, they started this back in the 30s, and it's been going on ever since then. And I was like, wow, I had no idea. The Shadow, Suspense, X Minus Ones, Escape, all these different. I was like, wow, this was really an ongoing. The Saint, I remember, all kinds of different stuff. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. I had checked out all of the high school's library to the point when I got into the high school at the 10th grade, I'm like, I want this and that and that and that and that. And they're like, how do you know? I'm like, oh, I've been checking these things out for years. It was great. I knew my favorites by then.
So what was the name of that one that you were talking about a minute ago that was CBS Radio Mystery Theater?
It's called The Smile of Death.
The Smile of Death. Okay, yep. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put that in my list of stuff to look for.
Yep.
And is there a link, Santi? I had set it on a shelf above my head, which I never hardly ever do because I have a torn rotator cuff and I never put things above my head. But I did because I wanted to get it out of the way. It didn't fall in the garbage, thank goodness. But it wouldn't have been the first time. Okay, wait a minute. The what of death? The Smile of Death?
The Smile of Death. Mm-hmm. Just Google CBS Radio Mystery Theater. It's one of the first things that comes up there is that website.
Okay, thank you very much. There. I thought, you know, they're advertising all of these things to keep your back straight and give you back support when you're sitting on a couch or sitting in a chair or you're at a desk or something. And they're also expensive. And I suddenly thought, wait a minute, I've got two of these bleacher seats downstairs. I could go get one of them because they give you really good back support and I could sit on my couch with it, right? Because the couch is old. So I'm feeling around and I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this doesn't have a strap in it. And it's some kind of briefcase. And I thought when I bought it, I guess, that it was one of those stadium seats, but it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be some kind of computer case, which is weird. But the other one is definitely the seat that I can sit on.
Whatever, so we'll try it out. Yeah.
And they've been in my garage for, what, 5 years at least? So I don't know even if I ever bought this thing. Maybe my daughter left it here. Who knows? Anyway, but I will find a good home for it. Thank you very much.
All right. 5 minutes, guys. 5 minutes till airtime.
Okay, I got into old-time radio. Let's see. I don't know what the first show I heard was. But it was in the computer age. And I was... sorry. Got a frog in my throat. I suppose it was back in like 2007.
You sure it's not a Robert?
Uh-huh. 2007, 2008. Like, I did hear old-time radio on the radio stations in the 90s and stuff. They played them really late at night, like when people or working people were in bed. So I'd heard a few of these old radio shows, and I thought they were neat, but I never really thought much about it. So in 2000, I think it was 2007, I took on a winter job. I always used to do something opposite to the marine business. Like in the winter, I used to volunteer or do something. So I took on a job. I applied for a job for a radio station, and I didn't have any experience. So she phoned me to tell me that I didn't have enough experience. But when she heard my voice, she got excited and said, well, I'll give you a try. So I did a radio show that was all request, and it could be done over the computer. And because I had a Mac, she went ahead, their radio station that I worked for, they went ahead and purchased all the software that I needed for the Mac, which I was very grateful for. So anyways, and I went on and did that for like a year. I did it for one winter. And in that time, I came across old-time radio on the internet, and I was just in love because I was collecting commercials, like audio commercials, and then I stumbled across old-time radio. And yeah, I was in love. I think I started with the Whistler and Escape and stuff like that. And so then the following spring or the following winter, she was really mad because in the spring I told her I have to go back to work, and she'd forgot that I told her that I could only do this for like 4 or 5 months. And she was really mad at me. So there was no chance of getting back on the following winter. But I had all the software, like professional radio station software, on my computer that they had paid for. So in the fall, I decided, oh, well, I think it was 2008. I thought, you know what? Why don't I start my own station? And I'm trying to listen, get my friends to listen to these old-time radio shows that I was downloading and buying, and I was burning them to CD and giving them to friends. And then they're like, oh, yeah, I never got the chance to listen to that. And if they visited, they found it kind of weird to sit and listen to a radio program because sighted people are all, you know, used to looking at a television.
Yep.
So it was kind of weird when people came over. I say, hey, listen to this radio show. It's only like 25 minutes, right? And they're like, well. So I was like, okay, fine. So that prompted me, and I thought, no, now you can listen to this radio station that I started online anytime you want, you know. And it blew up on the internet. I didn't expect it to. And that's how I got into old-time radio. Just a few years, I started collecting. I started buying a lot of stuff. Just went crazy. I loved it. I just went crazy over it. I don't know.
I don't know how you can say that you don't have knowledge. I mean, because, okay, you might not have that much knowledge about, you know, but hey, the important thing is you're doing what you like to do, you know, and that's what, essentially, that's what brings us all to this, you know, to this moment in time. And that's what the love for old time radio, you know, for what it was and what it is now.
Can Nikki make a quick comment?
Go ahead.
Okay. My ex-husband and I used to listen to old time radio way back in the 60s, mm-hmm. Late on a weekend night. Especially if we were going camping or if we were camping or something like that, it was always very scary. But then I didn't hear old time radio for a long, long time. And then I could only hear it on a radio station in San Francisco, half an hour on Saturday night, half an hour on Sunday night, until we started the California Council of the Blind chat. And Larry started talking about old time radio. And then I flew. I mean, I have so many apps, and I have a library of stuff that I want to hear. And all kinds of photographs that I've taken of Rumsey Radio to make sure that I get all of those, and I listen to them all at some point or other. And I'm just crazy about old time radio, and I'm listening to it all the time when I'm not in meetings or, you know, whatever I have to do. So I love it. I love it. And I'm sorry that I didn't understand that it was on the internet years and years ago, because I would have been a proponent of it then too. Thank you so much for everything you guys are doing. It's wonderful. And thank you for Rumsey Radio too, and Yesterday USA, Red, Blue, White, Green, and everything, and all the others out there. And you guys do an amazing job. You do an amazing job.
And that brings us up to the bottom of the hour. It's about 5:30, about 6 o'clock, or 6:30, what? 6:30 your time there, Mr. Braxma?
Yeah, I'm just, believe it or not, stupid.
No, he's
Zoom.
7:30, right? Oh, no, you're 6:30. That's right. I'm sorry.
6:30. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll see what happens here. It's...
All right, let me mute then.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
You got it? Or you need Max to play it?
No, I got to be advanced and just do computer audio. That's it.
Yeah, because I have the show in backup.
Yeah, sorry. This thing updated Zoom since I last used this machine, and it's just, you know, buttons. Everything's in different place. So that's all.
Well, let me mute people, and then you can
ready start. To go.
Yep, hang on.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Fred Bertelsen Old Time Radio Room. It's Thursday, March 21st, and my name is Bob Braxma, and I'll be your presenter tonight. I've chosen a Lux Radio Theater called I Confess, which was a Warner Brothers 1953 screen hit directed by Alfred Hitchcock. Cary Grant stars as Father Michael Logan, who becomes a suspect in a murder investigation after he fails to reveal a confession made earlier by German immigrant Otto Keller. This sounds good. Let's get on with it.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, brings you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Cary Grant and Phyllis Thaxter in I Confess. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Irving Cummings.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's play, I Confess, has one of the most unusual plots for sustained interest and suspense I have ever seen. And of course, when that master director, Alfred Hitchcock, adds his individual touch to the action, it's bound to be another screen hit for Warner Brothers. And for our stars, we have one of the finest actresses on the screen, Phyllis Thaxter, co-starring with Cary Grant, who will again prove his great versatility in a highly dramatic role. You know, there's no soap quite like mild and gentle Lux. Lux toilet soap has been a Hollywood custom for years. Once our glamorous Hollywood stars start using Lux, they won't use any other soap. And once you start using it, you know why 9 out of 10 screen stars depend on Lux soap for their complexion care. Now, I Confess, starring Cary Grant as Father Michael Logan and Phyllis Thaxter as Ruth. Night, the venerable city of Quebec. In the moonlight, the narrow cobble-side streets are all but deserted. A man, wearing the cassock of a priest, has darted into the rectory of a church. He sheds the cassock, and now he enters the church itself.
Who is it? Who's there?
It's Father Logan.
Oh, Father Logan. I did not recognize you in the dark.
Is that you, Keller?
Yes, Father.
Now, what are you doing here this time of night?
I... I came in to pray.
Is something wrong? Can I help you?
No one can help me. I have abused your kindness.
How?
You who gave my wife and me a home here, right with the church, a job, even friendship, to me, a refugee, a German. Now you will hate me.
Oh, no, I don't hate anyone, Keller.
You will hate me. But it was for her, for my wife. She worked so hard, Father, it breaks my heart.
Keller, what is it?
I must confess to you. I want to make a confession.
All right, we'll go to the confessional.
Yes, yes. I want you to hear my confession.
So, you've been to the house of Mr. Villette. Go on, Keller.
Yes, Villette, the lawyer. I killed Mr. Villette.
Keller.
I went to steal his money. I wore a cassock. If anyone saw me, they would think I was a priest. I was looking for the money when Villette surprised me. I did not mean to kill him. You must believe me, Father. I did not mean to kill him.
No, you didn't do it, Otto. You did not kill him.
I have just come from confession.
Oh.
Father Logan is my priest. You are my wife. It is right that you should also know.
But why, Otto? Why?
I am not a murderer. It was an accident. It was the money. How could I watch you work so hard? I lie awake night after night and I think all we need is $2,000, Alma. With $2,000, we can start a new life. And Villette was rich.
Otto.
It's so dangerous. They will catch me. They will hang me. I cannot.
Father Logan will go to them. He will tell them.
He will tell them? No, he cannot tell them what he heard in confession.
The police will come.
Why, Alma? Why should they come? I have told them nothing, have I? Alma, no one knows.
Father Logan knows.
But he cannot tell them what he heard in the confessional. Can't you understand that?
What are you going to do?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
In the morning, you are going to the police?
Tomorrow is Wednesday, Alma. Isn't that the day when I attend to Mr. Villette's garden?
But he is dead.
I always work in Mr. Villette's garden on Wednesdays. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Now go to bed. You need to rest. Rest, Alma. Rest.
Can I help you, Father? We're trying to keep this crowd away from the house.
You are the police?
Yes. You've heard, haven't you? Mr. Villette's been murdered.
Yes, I had an appointment here this morning.
With Villette?
Yes, is there anything I can do?
Well, if you had an appointment, you better go in the house. Do you mind?
Not at all.
Inspector LaRue's in there. Maybe he'd like to talk to you. This way.
Father Michael Logan, huh? What church, Father?
The Church of Saint Marie, Inspector.
Well, how are Father Millet and Father Benoit?
They're both very well, thank you.
Good. So you had an appointment with Villette?
Yes.
Anything special?
No, there was something he...
You've heard what's happened, of course, Father. Oh, we've got Keller in the next room.
Keller?
He works at the rectory, doesn't he?
Yes, he and his wife work there.
Poor devil's terrified. I've been waiting for him to settle down.
I see.
It was Keller who found the body. You don't mind if we call on you later?
No, I'll be at the church.
Maybe that we'd like to know what your appointment was all about, eh? Well, I'd better see Keller now.
Yes, well, goodbye, Inspector.
All right, Murphy, bring him in, will you, please?
But I have told policemen. I have told them everything.
Now, there's no need to be frightened, Keller. Now, how did you find the body?
This morning, I arrived as usual at 8:30. I came inside.
You have a key to this house?
No, the door was open. It frightened me.
An open door? Why?
The door was always locked. I went in and there he was. I could see that he was dead. I wanted to run.
Run?
You do not understand. How can you? There I was, a man without a country, alone, discovering a murder. I thought of the police. I am always afraid of the police. This is a German fear, this fear.
There's nothing to be afraid of here.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Father Logan is here. I heard them say that Father Logan...
Well, he was here. He's gone now.
What will he think of me?
Probably very highly, if you can be of more help to us.
Help?
There are a few things I'd like to know. Now, when you first came into the house, did you call for Mr. Vallette or...
Father Logan.
Please, we can't talk here.
But is it true?
It's true, Ruth. Vallette's been murdered.
I can't believe it. Michael, we're free. We're free.
Are we? Goodbye, Ruth.
Father Logan?
Come in, Keller.
The police, they sent me home. I must talk to you, Father.
Why?
Why did you come to Villette's house? I know what you must think of me, but I can't give myself up. They would hang me. Has not God forgiven me thanks to you? But the police never would.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I confessed to you. It was my confession. You must tell me what to do.
There's nothing I can add to what I've already said.
You are so good, Father. It's easy for you to be good. Have you no pity for me?
Otto?
Alma?
Father Benoit, he asks, will you please mend the tire on his bicycle?
Yes, right away.
The front tire, he left it at the back door.
Please, Father.
You'd better go now and fix the tire.
About it, Mr. Robertson. I said to myself, you're in no position to go to the Crown Prosecutor. You've got nothing to give him. But I'm here just the same, Mr. Robertson.
Oh, you're quite a man, Inspector. Quite a man.
Now, we know that Vallette was murdered, strangled, and that robbery may have been the motive. But we're not certain.
And no fingerprints and no suspects. Well, this should be very simple for you, LaRue.
I took the liberty of bringing a girl along.
A girl?
School girl.
Oh.
Murphy's got her out there in the hall. Just a possibility, Mr. Robertson.
All right, LaRue. Let's hear what she's got to say.
Thank you, sir.
So, you are Augustine?
Yes, monsieur.
Sorry you had to be dragged out from school, young lady.
Oh, but I like to be dragged out from school, monsieur.
Well, this is Mr. Robertson. He's the Crown Prosecutor. Now, your mother called to say that you passed the Vallette house last night.
That's right.
And what time was that?
11 o'clock. A little after 11. I was babysitting for Madame Germain, and I left her house at 11 o'clock.
Well, shall we say the time was between 11 and 11:30?
Yes. And I saw someone leaving Monsieur Villette's house. A man. A priest, monsieur.
What?
A priest.
Augustine, this is very important. Are you sure?
Quite sure, monsieur. I was walking by the Rue Valentin, and then suddenly there was this priest. He was coming out of the house and walking away.
Did you see his face?
No.
How tall was he?
Like you, monsieur.
And was he fat or thin?
Not fat, but not thin either.
Did you notice anything special about him, anything at all?
No.
Did he see you, Augustine?
I don't think so, monsieur.
But you are absolutely sure he was a priest?
Yes.
Thank you. You may go now. I must ask you a favor. I don't want you to say anything to anyone about this. Promise?
Oh, yes, monsieur. Goodbye.
Goodbye, little one.
And if you should need me again...
Yes?
It would be very nice if you could drag me out of school.
You know what this means. We'll have to check every rectory in town, find out which priests were out late last night.
It's ridiculous to think a priest would be involved. LaRue, you don't really think it could be a priest?
Yes, maybe. There was a priest this morning who...
Well...
Nothing. I'll have to check further.
But don't be so mysterious.
Well, I should know something more by tomorrow. Good day, Mr. Robertson, and thank you.
Inspector.
Evening, Keller. Father Logan, do you suppose I could see him?
Father Logan? Mm. Oh, sit down, please. I'll see if I can find him.
Thank you.
Who at the door?
A man. A man to see Father Logan. They drove away in the man's car. Alma, have you washed the cassock?
Not yet.
Where is it?
Upstairs in our room.
Do not wash it. I do not want it washed.
But why?
Listen to me. There is something you must never forget.
I might have had this little talk at the rectory, Father. Hope you don't mind coming here to my office.
Not at all. As long as Father Millet knows where I am.
You told him?
Yes.
Unpleasant bit of business, isn't it, Father?
If there's anything I can do...
Well, just a few questions. Now, how long have you been at Sainte-Marie's?
Nearly 3 years.
You know, I guess I've known Father Millet for 25 years. I was a choir boy when he was over at the Basilica.
Yes, he told me tonight what a fine voice you have.
He's just forgotten, that's all. I hear you were in the army.
Yes.
Got the military cross, hmm?
Yes.
You seem to have done a number of brave things.
Well, I survived.
Are you given to understatement, Father?
Well, that depends.
Now, this case, this Villette murder, it's all understatement so far. You knew Villette, right?
Yes, slightly.
Well, then maybe you can help me. What was he like, Father?
Oh, I didn't know him well.
Well, did you know him socially or in a business sort of way?
Actually, neither. I met him once many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Cigarette?
Thank you, no.
It's a funny thing. No one seems to have known this Villette, really known him. Yet he was a lawyer, had clients. Not one of them has any information that means anything. May I ask what you were going to see him about yesterday morning?
Well, that was a personal matter.
Well, were you acting for someone, Father? One of your parishioners, perhaps?
I can only tell you that my visit had nothing to do with Villette's death.
Oh, of course it didn't. But you do understand, don't you, that I must consider every scrap of information.
Yes.
When a crime's been committed, each scrap of information is important to us.
Of course.
I know sometimes it seems like... well, like prying. It can be very embarrassing.
Oh, I'm not embarrassed, Inspector.
Good. Well, I've been wondering about that lady you met outside Villette's house. She was in that crowd out there. I just happened to glance out the window when I saw you talking to her.
Inspector, the appointment I had with Villette could not be of any importance to you.
Oh, but we're not discussing that at the moment, Father. You see, with a murder, one has to jump from one detail to another. Forgive me, I guess I jumped too abruptly for you.
Well, perhaps I just don't follow as fast as you jump.
I'm sorry.
See, I have a methodical mind. I have to take things one by one.
Well, about this lady you met out there on the sidewalk.
I wish I could discuss it, but I can't.
May I ask who she is?
She isn't involved.
Excuse me, Father, but that's something for me to decide.
I know. But you'll have to take my word for it. She's not involved.
Your word. I respect your word, but I need help.
I'm not able to help.
I see. I just don't want all this mystification to make things too awkward for you, Father.
Awkward for me?
A priest was seen leaving Villette's house at the time of the murder. I saw a priest outside Villette's house the next morning. Well, Father?
Well?
Too much mystification might lead one to believe that both priests were one and the same, mightn't it? What do you have to say?
What would you want me to say?
That's up to you.
Well, then, I'd say that a man of intelligence would not be led to believe anything on so little evidence.
You're perfectly right. We've checked on every priest in Quebec. Each can account for his movements at the time of the murder. That is, each, except one. Where were you at 11 o'clock, Father?
I was walking.
Alone?
No.
Good. Now, if you'll just give me the name and address of the person...
I can't.
Father, don't you want to help me?
I've done my best.
But you refuse to answer my questions.
I know, and I'm sorry, but it isn't possible for me to answer them.
It's a pity. A great pity. But I thank you for coming, Father. Good night.
Good night, Inspector.
This is LaRue. Get me Mr. Robertson. Yes, the Crown Prosecutor. Try his house. If he isn't home, find out where he is. I've got to talk to him.
Before we continue with Act Two of I Confess, here's Francis Scully, our Hollywood reporter. What are you reading, Francis?
Well, I've got a batch of reviews on the world premiere of The Robe, Ken. 20th Century Fox held it in New York last Wednesday night. 6,500 people were invited and 6,000 more gathered outside the theater.
Imagine what Hollywood Boulevard will be like this Thursday night at the Hollywood premiere. How were the reviews, Francis?
Oh, just listen to this, Ken. The New York Daily News gave The Robe 4 stars and 4 stars for CinemaScope. The first time in its history any picture received this rating.
And what else did they say about CinemaScope?
Well, it's considered the greatest motion picture advance in sound.
How big is that CinemaScope screen again, Francis?
Well, it's 65 feet long and 24 feet high. And it's so wide that a chariot has 4 white horses, not just 2, thundering toward the audience.
Not to mention close-ups of Richard Burton, Gene Simmons, and Victor Mature all at once.
I love this description of Victor Mature. They write that Victor plays the Greek slave, quote, with the controlled arrogance of a trained leopard, unquote.
Leopard, hey. And Gene Simmons?
Oh, these are the words they use about her. Lovely and passionate.
I could add a few words about Gene myself, such as complexion by Lux.
And don't forget, Ken, the robe is in Technicolor, so audiences will really see what Lux care can mean to a complexion.
Well, Jean has been devoted to Lux for many years. I guess it's a habit she picked up in England.
Well, Lux seems to be an international custom with most movie actresses. With so many pictures being made on location, Mexico, Rome, the Belgian Congo, why, well, I think you can call Lux the most traveled of all soaps.
Yes, Lux gets around, all right. Like Gene Simmons, so many stars feel that Lux is the one soap they can depend on to keep their skin looking its very best.
Lux is so gentle and mild. And another nice thing, the fragrance of Lux never interferes with any perfume you wear.
Thank you, Francis. Once you've used Lux, we think you'll agree with Gene Simmons and 9 out of 10 screen stars, there's no soap quite like Lux. Now our producer, Mr. Cummings.
Act 2 of I Confess, starring Cary Grant as Father Michael Logan and Phyllis Thaxter as Ruth. It's a few moments later. Mr. Robertson, the Crown Prosecutor, is not at home. But Inspector LaRue has found him. He's been a guest tonight in the home of some old friends, Pierre Granfort and his wife, Ruth.
Sorry, Ruth. Looks like I've got to say goodnight. That phone call just now, it's about that Villette murder.
Don't look so unhappy, Willie.
Well, there's a very unpleasant angle. A priest is under suspicion.
What nonsense.
Well, he was seen leaving Villette's house.
Which priest? Do they know his name?
Inspector LaRue thinks it's a Father Logan from St. Marie's. Well, I hate to leave. Thanks for a lovely dinner.
Good night, Willie.
Oh, no, don't come to the door. See you soon, Pierre.
Stop worrying. It's ridiculous. Why on earth would Father Logan...
Shut up. Oh, please, shut up. I'm sorry.
You're still in love with him.
Am I?
You never spoke about it.
And I'm not going to speak about it
but
now.
But you are going to speak about it. I'm not going on like this.
Do whatever you wish.
It's very simple, isn't it? What does one do when his wife's in love with a priest?
You can leave me.
How easily you can say that.
I'm not in love with you. I have never been in love with you. You know that.
I never wanted to believe it.
That's not my fault. I've never pretended anything with you.
I hope he's in trouble. Terrible trouble.
Oh, Michael. Michael.
Hello? St. Marie's Rectory?
I want to speak to Father Logan, please.
Father Logan? Oh, but he is asleep.
I'm not asleep, Mrs. Keller.
Oh, it is very late.
I'll take it. Thank you.
Good night, Father.
Hello?
Michael, I've got to see you.
Ruth, please. That's impossible.
I've got to see you tomorrow morning. I've got to meet you somewhere. Michael, aren't you listening?
I hear you.
I'm going to Levis tomorrow morning. The ferry, Michael. The 9 o'clock ferry.
All right. Good night.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father Logan.
Walk over here. We shouldn't be seen together for your sake.
I had to see you.
Ruth, the police have been questioning me. They saw the two of us talking outside of Villette's house. They're trying to find out who you are.
I don't care. I've got to tell you. You're being suspected.
I know that.
The only thing is for me to tell them that you were with me that night.
You can't. They want to know why.
I'll tell them everything if I have to.
You've got to think of yourself. You've got to think of your husband.
Think of him before I think of you. I've never been able to do that.
You must.
It's too late to think of him. I'm not that good. I love you. I've always been in love with you. I know it's wrong, but I can't help it. Do you want me to lie to you?
No, I don't want you to lie to yourself.
I haven't changed, Michael. I've been married 7 years, and I haven't changed.
But I've changed. And you must understand. I'm a priest. I chose to be what I am. I believe in what I am.
Michael.
Ruth, I want you to see things as they are and not go on hurting yourself.
Don't pity me.
Our meeting like this is wrong. It's all wrong.
It won't happen again. I won't bother you again. Goodbye.
Ruth.
Ruth, who was it? Who just telephoned?
Willie Robertson. He wants me to come to his office now.
Why?
I was seen on the ferry this morning with Michael Logan. Apparently I was being followed by a detective.
Would you like to tell me what you're going to do?
Answer whatever questions they ask me. I'm going to tell them why Michael could not have killed Villette.
Oh. Has Father Logan cleared himself to your satisfaction?
He didn't have to. I was with him at the time.
Would you like me to go with you?
I'm in no position to ask favors, am I?
Get ready. I'll get the car.
Thank you.
Ruth, Pierre, I'm so terribly sorry about all this. Oh, this is Inspector LaRue.
Good evening.
Inspector LaRue has promised to keep all this from the press.
That is, I'll do my best. Please, won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Father Logan is here.
Here?
Yes, the other room. If you'll join us, Father, please.
Good evening, Father Logan.
Good evening. Good evening.
Father Logan.
May we begin, please? What is it you want to know?
Madame, you met Father Logan on the ferry this morning.
Yes.
May I ask the reason for this meeting?
I don't think the reason could help you, Inspector.
You also met Father Logan on the morning following Villette's murder in front of the house.
Yes.
And the reason for this meeting?
I had an appointment with Monsieur Villette.
But Father Logan, knowing of the murder, stopped you from entering the house, am I right?
Yes.
Of course, Father did not know you had an appointment.
But he did know. The night before, I'd met Father Logan. I told him I was going to see Villette at 9:30 the following morning.
Madame, just so I don't misunderstand, you met Father Logan on the night that Villette was murdered?
Yes.
Where?
We took a drive in my car.
At what time, please?
Between 9 and 11.
Are you sure of the time, madame?
Yes, I came home just after 11. My husband had come in just 5 minutes before.
That's correct, Inspector.
You told your husband that you'd just seen Father Logan?
No, I did not tell my husband.
Inspector, I beg you. Must your questions be so personal?
Madame, do you understand why I must ask these questions?
Yes. And I came here to tell you that Father Logan could not have been involved in Monsieur Villette's death because I was with him at the time.
I accept everything you have said, madame. But I must know the reason for your appointment with Villette.
Villette was blackmailing me.
He was what?
I met Father Logan to ask his advice.
But your husband? You had not told your husband about this?
No, it was nothing to do with my husband.
You turned to Father Logan for advice, but not to your husband?
Father Logan is an old friend.
Then he knew that you were being blackmailed.
How could he? I hadn't seen him in years.
But you just called him an old friend.
Inspector LaRue.
Yes, just a moment, LaRue.
My wife is not under oath. She doesn't have to answer these questions.
Monsieur, I have only one more question. Why were you being blackmailed, madame?
You needn't answer that.
Why shouldn't she?
Ruth, it isn't necessary. Don't answer.
Madame, are you trying to protect Father Logan?
From what? He hasn't done anything.
It would seem as if he had.
You don't care whom I hurt, do you? Just as long as I answer your questions.
Madame, a man has been murdered.
Ruth, if you... If you think you'd like the advice of a lawyer...
Thanks, Willie. I don't think that will be necessary. The blackmail was about me and Father Logan, Inspector.
You were aware of this, Father?
Yes.
If you will continue, Madame.
I'll have to go back a long time to the beginning of the war. It was long before Michael had entered the church. He was working then for the government, and we'd fallen in love. He was one of the first to volunteer. I hated him for that. I was selfish even then. He took things so seriously, war and love. Yes, even love. I begged him to marry me before he left, but he wouldn't. It seems so long ago.
Ruth, how can you talk of our getting married? You know I'll be shipping out soon.
Oh, but darling, that's why I want to marry you.
Oh, aren't there enough widows as it is?
Michael.
You think I don't love you enough. I love you too much. Much too much. Don't you see? There's just no telling when I'll get back. Or if I ever will. Meanwhile, you'd better forget about me.
How can you say that if you love me?
If I love you.
There never can be anyone else, never.
Ruth, won't you understand? It's so unfair to you.
You think it's fair to tell me to forget you?
You know something? You're a very stubborn girl, aren't you?
His letters were long at first, but after a while there were no letters at all. Nothing, not a word, for over a year. Meanwhile, I had started working for my future husband. Pierre was... he was...
Ruth, you don't have to tell him. You don't have to tell him anything more.
I want to. You were very kind to me, Pierre. You realized I was unhappy. And like all kind people, you never asked me why.
I was in love with you.
Anyway, 6 months later, we were married. When the war was over, Michael came home. I was at the dock the day the boat arrived. We arranged to meet the following afternoon. It was a lovely day, the end of the summer. We took the ferry and went over to the island. We started to walk, and Michael told me the thoughts that had come to him during the war. The war had changed him. Then suddenly a storm came.
Well, this won't do at all, will it? You don't even have a jacket.
Oh, what's a little rain? Come on, let's run for it. There must be some place we can go.
Where are we, anyway?
Oh, I don't know. It was a beautiful meadow a minute ago.
Oh, you're getting soaked. Oh, look, there's a house across the field. Maybe they'll let us stay there.
The house was closed, Inspector. Locked. The storm grew worse. There was a summer house in the garden. A roof and lattice and ivy. It was the only shelter we could find. Sometime during the night, the rain stopped. It was sunlight that awakened me. Michael was seated at a table, his head on his arms. He was still asleep. And then a man came walking through the garden.
Hello. Well, I've been entertaining guests, I see.
He called again and Michael wakened.
What a charming rendezvous. I trust you and the lady were not disturbed during the night. But what a compromising situation, monsieur.
Michael, no, don't.
He only defends your honor, madame.
Get out.
Get out? From my own garden?
That doesn't give you the right to insult
me. Madame Grandfort? Oh, yes, I know madame.
Ruth?
That is, I know of her husband, the distinguished member of parliament. I've seen you quite often, madame, waiting for him in your car. Oh, how exciting it must be to be young. Young and beautiful.
This man, Villette?
Villette. What could I say to Michael? I hadn't told him I was married.
Father?
Let her continue.
I didn't see Michael again for 5 years. Nor Villette either. Not till the day that Michael was ordained a priest. Villette attended the ceremonies. And after that, I started to run into him all the time. One day, as I left the house, he was waiting for me on the sidewalk.
And those are the facts, Madame Grandfort. If I don't act quickly, there'll be a terrible tax scandal. Only your husband can help me.
Then go to my husband. There's nothing I can do.
But your husband is so righteous, madame. You could persuade him to use his influence, couldn't you?
You can't be serious.
Madame, must I tell your husband about you and Father Logan? Must I?
There's nothing you can tell him. We did nothing wrong.
Think it over. I'll give you 24 hours.
I was helpless, frantic. If Villette started to talk, Pierre's career in politics would be finished. Michael might be unfrocked. I thought that maybe Michael might help. I telephoned him at the rectory. We met that night, and as we drove around the city, I told him what had happened.
I want you to take me back to the rectory, Ruth, and then I want you to go home.
What are you going to do?
Leave Villette to me. I'll talk to him. Can you meet me in front of his house tomorrow morning, say at 9:30?
Yes, of course.
It'll be all right, Ruth. Villette will listen to reason. Don't worry about it anymore.
So that explains your appointment with Villette. Yes, I see.
I arrived at 9:30. I couldn't understand why the crowd had gathered. Then I saw Michael, and he told me Villette was dead. I couldn't believe it. I was free. The rest you know.
Some of it, anyway.
Inspector, may my wife leave now?
Certainly.
Father Logan has his alibi now, doesn't he, Willie?
Of course.
Thank you.
Ruth.
Come.
Good night.
Thank you, madame, for your help tonight.
Yeah, Willie. Would you like to go now, Father? I said, would you like to go now?
Go?
It's been a terrible ordeal. We're very grateful.
Yes. Well, good night.
Well, it's over, Inspector.
Is it, sir? I'd like you to see this report.
What report?
Dr. Bonnard, the autopsy surgeon. He claims that Villette could not have died before 11:30.
Oh, wait a moment.
Madame Grandfort said that she left Father Logan at 11. You can do a lot of things in 30 minutes. I had never quite understood why Father Logan should have killed Villette. But now I think I can understand.
And I thought it was over.
I'm afraid not, Mr. Robertson. Only beginning.
We'll continue with Act Three of I Confess in just a few moments. Now we're going to meet lovely Joan Weldon, who was signed by Warner Brothers while singing in Song of Norway. What singing haven't you been doing lately, Joan?
I'm in So This Is Love, Mr. Cummings, but I don't sing. I'm actually more interested in becoming a dramatic actress like Barbara Stanwyck.
You don't come any better than Barbara.
I saw her in the new Milton Sperling production, Blowing Wild, at the studio recently. Gary Cooper, Ruth Roman, and Anthony Quinn are stars in it, too. It was shot in Mexico, mostly near Cuernavaca, and the cast lived in one of those old, established world places. Built in 1527 by Cortes, the Spanish conqueror.
Sounds like the picture Blowing Wild would have some wonderful scenery in it.
Oh, it has, Mr. Cummings. And a very exciting story involving oil fields and armed bandits. Judging by the looks of Miss Stanwyck at the end of the picture, well, I hope she had Lux toilet soap along with her.
Why is that, Joan?
Miss Stanwyck was covered with oil and debris. She plays the part of an unscrupulous woman, infatuated with Gary Cooper. And I guess you'd say she gets her just desserts in the end.
Well, Joan, knowing how much Barbara Stanwyck likes Lux, I'm sure she brought several cakes along.
Lux is my favorite soap, too, Mr. Carpenter, for my complexion and in my bath.
Most screen stars feel that way about Lux, Joan. They believe there's nothing more refreshing than a Lux bath. It's a great pick-me-up after a strenuous day.
It certainly is, Mr. Carpenter.
Well, thank you, Joan, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you in a dramatic role soon. Use the generous bath size Lux. We think you'll like its creamy lather and pleasant fragrance as much as 9 out of 10 Hollywood screen stars do. We pause now for station identification. This is the CBS Radio Network.
curtain rises on Act Three of I Confess, starring Cary Grant as Father Michael Logan and Phyllis Thaxter as Ruth. It's very early the following morning, but already the phone has rung in the Granfer home. An urgent call from Mr. Robertson, the prosecutor. And now Ruth has rushed to the church of Sainte Marie.
But I can't talk to you now, Ruth. There are people waiting at the confessionals.
Mr. Robertson, phone. They're going to arrest you. Oh, Michael, what can we do?
I don't know.
You're not going to let them bring you to trial. Don't you know what that would mean? I've done this to you. I've done it all.
No, no, you mustn't say that.
They're going to call me as a witness, and all because of what I told them last night. They claim I've given them the motive they've been waiting for.
Ruth, please, I must go now.
I should have lied, but I told the truth. And now they'll twist everything I've said. They'll turn it, they'll use it. I wanted to help you, to help you.
Well, it doesn't matter. There's nothing either of us can do.
Father Logan.
Keller? What is it?
I can talk to you now. You are through with confessions?
Yes.
You have been talking to the police. They asked about me. You told them about me?
I'm going to be arrested, Keller.
You? You are trying to frighten me. You think by telling me that I will give myself up. So what are you going to do when they arrest you?
I don't know.
You are frightened. Maybe they will hang you instead of me, and that frightens you. But you can't tell them, can you? You can't tell them as long as you are a priest.
Come in. Father Logan.
You've been looking for me, Inspector LaRue?
Yes, Father. Yes, indeed, we've been looking for you. For about 3 hours, we've been looking for you. Every policeman in Quebec.
I've been walking. I've been trying to think.
You can call it off, Murphy. You just walked in. You had lunch yet, Father?
No.
Well, let me order something for you. You're under arrest.
Yes, I know.
Priest arrested for murder.
Father Logan charged with Valette murder.
Robertson plans speedy trial of accused priest.
So, if you will tell the court once again, Sergeant Murphy, where did you find this priestly garment, this cassock?
The rectory, sir. Father Logan's room. I found it hidden in his trunk.
Hidden?
Objection, my lord. On what grounds can the witness claim the article was hidden?
Sustained.
Sorry, my lord. The Crown is content to establish only the fact that the cassock was in the accused trunk. Now then, Sergeant, what did the police do with this cassock?
We sent it to Dr. Bernard, pathologist at Laval University. I have his signed report here, sir. It's Dr. Bernard's opinion that the cassock was stained with human blood.
Whose blood?
The report says that the blood type is identical to that of the murdered man, Valette.
Thank you. If it please the court, the Crown would like to recall a witness whom we heard yesterday, but very briefly. Will Otto Keller take the stand? Now then, Mr. Keller, you told us yesterday that you spoke with Father Logan on the night of the murder at approximately 11:45 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Under what circumstances?
My wife was asleep, sir. I was just about to go to bed, so I opened the window. I saw someone entering the church.
Who?
I could not tell at that distance, sir, so I went downstairs and walked out of the rectory and across to the church. I saw someone kneeling against the altar rail. As he lifted his head, I saw it was Father Logan, sir.
Was there anything about his manner that seemed out of the ordinary?
He seemed so distressed, sir. I asked him if he were ill. He said no. He said I should go back and leave him alone.
And did you go back?
No, sir. Father Logan had always been so very kind to my wife and to me. I wanted to help him if I could.
Well?
He told me again to leave him alone, so I went back to our room.
Your witness, Mr. Crawley.
The defense waives examination at this time, my lord.
Waives examination? Then the Crown calls Madame Granfort to the stand. Madame Ruth Granfort, please.
I can't answer your questions in any other way. How can I when you repeatedly twist my words around and rephrase them?
The witness will kindly confine herself to answer as to the facts.
Madame Granfort, you just told us you were in love with the accused prior to the war.
Yes.
But what we are trying to find out is whether or not you were still in love with the accused on that night of Villette's murder.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. And how often had you met with him between the night at the summer house on the island and the night Villette was killed?
Never, never.
You want this court to believe that a woman in love doesn't make some attempt to meet her lover?
My lord, this line of questioning doesn't seem particularly relevant.
But it is, my lord. I am trying to discover whether or not Villette's blackmail was based on his knowledge not merely of a single meeting between the accused and the witness, but of a continuous, uninterrupted series of...
No, that's not true! It's not true! Not
true. My lord, the witness appears to be on the verge of hysteria. May I excuse her for the moment and call the accused?
Does the defense object?
No objections, my lord.
Call the accused.
Father Michael Lowe. Suppose we begin with the cassock, Father Logan. This is your cassock.
No, sir. It is not mine.
Then perhaps you borrowed it from someone?
No.
Yet it was found in your trunk. Someone must have put it there?
Yes.
Or can you help us by suggesting who?
I can't say.
Father Logan, when did you decide to become a priest?
After the war.
And in becoming a priest, were you perhaps trying to hide from something?
I've never thought of the priesthood as offering a hiding place.
It involves certain responsibilities, certain moralities.
Yes.
And yet you saw nothing wrong in having a clandestine meeting with a woman.
Are you trying to imply that I was a priest at that time? I was not a priest.
But did you consider that this woman was married?
I wasn't aware that she was.
And so you spent the whole day with her?
Yes, yes. We were good friends. I hadn't seen her in over 3 years.
Such good friends that you made no effort to go home that night?
We were caught in a storm.
Oh, then the storm was the villain.
I saw nothing wrong in being caught in a storm.
Nothing wrong. Then why, on the following morning, did you hit Villette with your fist? Were you anxious to protect Madame's reputation?
Yes.
Oh, then her reputation was endangered. You suddenly realized there was something more than merely being caught in the storm.
Villette made insinuations. My argument with Villette had nothing to do with any sudden realization.
But you hit him in anger.
Yes.
You hit a man when he merely intruded upon a harmless situation. Then surely you are capable of far more violence when that same man blackmails your friend, Madame Granfort.
I am not capable of murder.
You would go to such a man, and unable to control your temper, unable to face a public scandal, you would turn again to physical force.
No, I would not.
No, you would not. You say that you and Madame separated at 11 o'clock on the night of the murder.
That's right, yes.
Then it was possible for you to be at Villette's house by 11:30.
Yes, it was possible, but I did not go there. I went back to the rectory.
And what did you do, Father Logan?
I went up to my room. Then I went downstairs and into the church.
Did you see anyone there?
Otto Keller.
But Mr. Keller has told the court that the time then was 11:45 or after.
That isn't true.
Then perhaps you are prepared to tell us the truth.
I have told you the truth.
That is all you have to say.
That is all.
And I say that you did not return to the rectory until 11:45 or after. That you had met with Villette, that he threatened you with exposure, and that you then proceeded to kill him.
No! No!
Prosecution rests case. Defense blasts circumstantial evidence.
Judge charges jury. Judge withholds all comment.
Verdict awaited. Priest to hang if guilty.
Silence! Silence! Everybody stands. Gentlemen of the jury, are you agreed on your verdict?
We are.
Is Michael Logan guilty of murder or not guilty?
While we attach grave suspicions to the accused, we cannot find sufficient evidence to prove that he actually killed Monsieur Villette. Our verdict is not guilty.
Oh. Silence! Silence! Michael Logan, while I have no doubt, as judge of this trial, that the jury reached their conclusions in utmost regard for justice, I must express my personal disagreement with their verdict. Michael Logan, you are hereby discharged, and this court is adjourned.
Well, LaRue, I told you the cassock wouldn't be enough.
They've ruined him. Why couldn't they just have said not guilty and let it go at that?
Are you satisfied, Willie? Are you satisfied with all this?
Do you think I enjoyed it, Pierre? Someday, perhaps, you and Ruth may forgive me.
Ruth?
Pierre, look. Here out the window. What are they doing to him?
People are angry, madame. If he were anyone else
but
a priest...
They're throwing things at him. They're hurting him.
The police will handle it. There, you see?
I can't even help him now. And after all I've done to him...
LaRue, look. Isn't that Mrs. Keller out there? What's she doing?
Yes. She's shouting something. She's pointing to her husband and shouting, I better get down there.
Those were shots.
Mrs. Keller. Someone shot Mrs. Keller.
What is it, Murphy? What happened?
She was running toward me, Mrs. Keller. She kept shouting, he's innocent. The priest is innocent. Keller was about 20 feet in back of her. He shot her twice.
Where is she?
They've just taken her to that chop over there.
Who's getting her statement?
No one, sir. She's dead.
And Keller?
He won't get far. We're after him now. He ran into the hotel down there.
I don't want him shot.
Well, he's still got the gun, sir.
I don't want him dead. I want to talk to him.
Yes, sir.
Where's Father Logan?
He went in the shop where Mrs. Keller is.
Well, Father?
All she was able to say was, forgive me.
We should have Keller in a few minutes. Now, what about him?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean.
Why did he shoot his wife? Why did she say you were innocent?
I can't answer that.
Keller worked in the rectory. He also worked as Valette's gardener. What else can you tell me about him?
Will you let me try to talk to him?
I've got to catch him first. All right, Father, come along. He's somewhere in the hotel.
Thank you.
What are you trying to do, Father? Protect him?
I think we better go to the hotel.
We've got him cornered, Inspector. Behind those doors is a ballroom. No place to hide. Just a floor and a stage. Every exit's covered. I just sent Farouche for tear gas.
Oh, no, please. Let me try to talk to him.
No. Murphy, open the doors. Now, the rest of you stand back.
Ready?
Go ahead. Keller?
What do you want?
I want you to give yourself up.
Why would I do that?
You shot your wife. Isn't that enough? And what about Villette?
Villette? So the priest talked. Logan, where are you, Father Logan?
Keller.
Ah, so you are there. How kindly you hear my confession. And then a little shame, a little violence. That's all it takes to make you talk.
I'm going in there.
Now get back, Father. I'll kill you.
Oh, you show yourself the hypocrite, the pretender. I thought you would rather die than to betray your faith.
Keep him covered, Murphy.
Yes, sir.
Now get ready. Aim for Keller's shoulder. Make him drop the gun.
Be easier to hit his leg, sir.
Shoulder, the right shoulder. Run a shoot now, Keller. Drop your gun and we shoot.
Oh, no, please. Don't make them do it, Keller. That is all you have to tell me.
Oh. Drop your gun, Otto. There's been enough bloodshed.
You must not come closer, Father. I'll shoot you, you know.
You won't shoot me, Otto.
Why will I not shoot you? Because you call me Otto in such a friendly way, like Alma used to call me. Otto, where is my Alma?
She's dead.
No.
You killed her.
It is your fault. Oh, I loved her. It made me cry to see her work so hard. Her poor hands. Her poor, beautiful hands. She can't be dead.
She is.
And I am as alone as you are.
Oh, no. Yes. I'm not alone.
Yes, you are. To kill you now would be a favor to you. You have no friends. What has happened to your friends, huh, Father? They mob you. They spit at you. It would be better if you were as guilty as I. Then they would shoot you quickly. Look. 3 bullets. For you, Father. For you. Oh, help me, Father. Help me.
help.
Get a doctor, the hotel doctor. Father.
Stand back, please, all of you.
Forgive me. Forgive me. My head. Hold my head.
Yes, Otto.
Pray for me.
Ego te absolvo, in nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Michael.
It's all over.
Yes. I want you to know I'm going home with my husband.
In a moment, our stars will return. Now here's Hollywood's recommendation for sunshine the year round, Mr. Art Linkletter.
Thank you, Ken. And ladies, are you proud to show off your linen closet? You know, a well-kept linen closet is one mark of a good housekeeper. And of course, it's important to have your towels and sheets and all your linens smell just as clean and fresh as they look. And when you wash them with Surf, you know they're clean clear through because they smell clean. There's no need to worry about unpleasant odors like stale, sour soap or the almost medicinal odor left by some detergents. You like the clean, sunshine freshness of your Surf-washed linens.
When you wash them with Surf, they smell like sunshine.
And that's true no matter where you dry them, indoors or out, on damp days or dry ones. All-purpose Surf is the safe, white detergent for your linens and for everything you wash. And when you wash them with Surf, they smell like sunshine.
Now, Mr. Cummings, with our stars.
And we call them forward for a curtain call. Cary Grant and Phyllis Thaxton. Cary, I certainly enjoyed your work in a dramatic part.
I think people are inclined to forget what a fine dramatic actor Cary is.
Well, of course. Oh, well, it was nothing. I just play anything at all. Anything from comedy to opera. Bang, bang.
You sing opera, Cary?
Well, of course. I used to be in those romantic musicals, you know, where everybody raises a stein to dear old USC. I even had a solo.
Oh, you did? What did you sing?
High Barmaid. Or was it Hey Barmaid?
Why don't you combine your talents and sing comic opera? Remember the Beggar's Opera?
Oh, yes. Laurence Olivier just made the famous old comic opera into a motion picture in England for Warner Brothers. He's pretty versatile, too.
Yeah, I think I'll leave singing in Shakespeare to Sir Laurence, and I'll just stick to drama and comedy.
Very wise, Cary. I believe in staying with whatever you have confidence in.
You said it.
That's why I've always been a devoted fan to Lux Toilet Soap. It certainly is a dependable complexion care.
Yeah, we can always depend on the Lux Radio Theater for the best in motion pictures. So, what's for next week, Irving?
It's not only one of 20th Century Fox's finest pictures, but it tells the story of some of our most exciting American history. It's the great love story of Rachel and Andrew Jackson in The President's Lady. And as our stars, we'll have dynamic Charlton Heston recreating his original role. And as his co-star, lovely and talented, Joan Fontaine.
Oh, that will be a wonderful show. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. And see you soon.
Good morning, honey.
When you say good morning, does your breath say...
Morning, Mom.
Morning, Mom.
Morning, Mom.
Morning, Mom. Morning, Mom. Morning, Mom.
It won't if you use Chlorodent toothpaste. Chlorodent absolutely gets rid of that stale, furry taste that's a sure sign of bad breath. Some toothpastes only mask bad breath temporarily. But with Chlorodent, that wonderful, clean, fresh feeling tells you your breath is sweet, even hours later. Chlorodent hasn't got a little dab of chlorophyll, it's loaded with it. And it's got a patented polishing agent that cleans better than any other toothpaste formula, bar none. A great university proved it. Anti-enzyme? Certainly. One brushing stops dangerous acid formations that cause decay for 9 out of 10 people for hour after hour after hour. So to get rid of morning mouth, get Chlorodent. Then when you say good morning, your breath says clean and fresh.
Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, invite you to be with us again next Monday evening when the Lux Radio Theater presents Charlton Heston and Joan Fontaine in The President's Lady. This is Irving Cummings saying goodnight to you from Hollywood.
Heard in our cast tonight were Jack Crucian as LaRue, Leonard Penn as Keller, Edgar Barrier as Robertson, Shep Mencken as Murphy, George Baxter as Pierre, Ann Morrison as Alma, Charlie Lung as Villette, Jill Oppenheim as Augustine, Bill Johnstone as the defense attorney, and Herb Butterfield, Tony Michaels, and Eddie Marr. Our radio play was adapted by S.H. Barnett, and our music was composed and directed by Rudy Schrager. Well, Frances, why that big smile?
Well, I just sort of found $10.
What do you mean, sort of?
Well, I did some figuring, Ken, and came out $10 ahead.
Oh, great. How'd you do that?
Well, it's like this. I buy about 15 pairs of nylons a year. I spend, a dollar and a quarter to $1.35 a pair. Mm-hmm. Say $20 a year for stockings. Now, like any smart gal, I give my sheer nylons Lux Flakes care and...
And get double the stocking wear.
So I cut stocking costs in half and save $10 a year. Now, isn't that money found?
You bet it is, Frances. And any woman can do it just by giving her delicate nylons gentle Lux Flakes care. So don't wash your nylons harshly in wash day products. You see, Lux Flakes keep nylon threads strong and elastic, so they're less likely to break and cause runs. That's why 96% of stocking manufacturers recommend Lux Flakes. And Lux Flakes are guaranteed safe by Lever Brothers. Remember, if you want double your stocking wear, be sure to use Lux Flakes care. Lever Brothers Company unconditionally guarantees the quality and performance of Lux Toilet Soap, Lux Flakes, Chlorodent Toothpaste, and Surf, or your money refunded. This is your announcer, Ken Carpenter, reminding you to join us again next Monday night to hear The President's Lady, starring Charlton Heston and Joan Fontaine. Every Thursday evening, Lever Brothers Company brings you the Lux Video Theater. Consult your local newspaper for time and station. This is the CBS Radio Network.
From September 21st, 1953... you've been listening to the Lux Radio Theater titled I Confess, and it starred Cary Grant and Phyllis Thaxter. I hope you enjoyed the show. Before we go, we're going to need to hear an announcement from Brad Snyder. Take it away, Brad.
I want to let everyone know that a date has been set for the next Old Time Radio Marathon. The Spring Marathon will be held May 4th, 2024. As everyone knows, these marathons are always a lot of fun, with 12 hours of great old-time radio programming and conversation. The fun gets started Saturday, May 4th, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. So mark it on your calendar. You don't want to miss this one.
Thanks, Brad. I'm Bob Braxma. I've been your host tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you next time in the Fred Bertelsen Old Time Radio.
Good show there, Bob. It was really, it was well done. And I'm going to run along here because my friend Rob is over, but it was a good show. We enjoyed it, and thank you.
You're welcome, Max. Good show.
Thanks for backing up, Max.
You're welcome. Yeah, I had it in my Winamp thing, and you know, as I always do when I back
Hello,
up.
Hello, Tom.
Hello there, Michael.
How are you, sir? Take care, Max.
Good day, Max.
Robert has left the meeting.
Yeah. And there's Shanti. Hello, Shanti.
Hi there. I just finished updating my other iPad. I always get nervous when I do that.
My other iPad. How cool are you?
Yeah.
Well, it's really old, and it only goes up as high as iOS 12.5. So, excuse me. I hope I get couple more years out of it. I can't do a lot of things, but I can do most of the things I like to do anyway.
Oh, my iPad only goes up to 9.3, so it's essentially a doorstop.
You mean you can't even listen to music on it?
You know, it's not worth the trouble to have such a large device that doesn't do anything other than that.
Well, my iPhone goes up to 17.4.
Yep, yeah. And that's where mine is now. I updated it earlier this evening.
Yeah.
I have an iPhone 5C that goes up to iOS 10, and I just put a memory stick on that and listen to music with it.
What'd you have for dinner, Tom?
I had meatloaf. Has
joined the meeting.
Meatloaf, mashed potatoes, gravy, and carrots.
Okay. Oh.
And of course, I finished off with some applesauce.
All right. And for Shanti's benefit, she'll definitely know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I had tacos de carne cebrada.
Ooh, yummy.
For translation, for those of you who don't know what I just said, I had shredded beef tacos.
It sounded better in Spanish.
I know, huh?
Sounds more delicious, even though I don't understand it.
You had what, Shanti?
Raisin bran.
Wait, you're
there
supposed
you
to
go.
Supposed to be supposed to be boycotting Kellogg's.
Oh, really? Well, this was great value raisin bran.
Oh, okay.
But I was saying, going back to the
that would have worked as well.
Going back to the iOS, for a long time, mine was on iOS 10, and I was still able to use Safari and Messenger and listen to all my old time radio stuff, because that was like my bedtime thing. I would listen to some old time radio before dropping off. But now I'm really happy I can Zoom on it again.
Yeah, you sound good. You sound, pretty
well. This is my new one, but the old one is back in business with Zoom, so I'm really thrilled.
Okay.
Surprised you're getting updates for. Well, I imagine if you hadn't updated it, there'd be one laying around.
Yeah. The new one I kept updating Zoom, but the old one wasn't doing it because nothing goes with iOS 10 anymore. So I put it up on, now it's on iOS 12.5, which is as far as it's going to go because it's old.
But my old one, the display just went poof.
Oh.
And
you have a bumper sticker on it that says, my other tablet is also an iPad, or
if you use VLC Media Player for anything on the iPhone, it still updates on iOS 10.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few ones it does.
I don't use VLC Media Player on the iPhone.
Oh, VLC is so good. It's just so flexible and
I love it.
It is.
Plays so many different types of files, and you can literally just drop stuff from your desktop computer to your phone, any kind of media file. It's just so handy and helpful, and
I only listen to music on my computer because I don't want to be listening to music when I'm out and about, and the computer's got better speakers.
Yeah, I do too. I listen to books and music on my computer. Every so often I'll listen to it, and I listen to it on my Lady A here.
Mm-hmm.
I have one of these, whatchamacallit, Lady A's, the Echo Show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so,
That's good.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the screen, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Right on.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep. Hey, I don't mean to put you on the spot there, my friend. But
there's an issue with your Apple Music
account. Hey, I wasn't talking to you. but I know you said last year that you weren't going to do any OTR anymore for a while. Are you still at that point where you're not going to do any for a while?
You mean presenting?
Yes. Uh-huh.
No, I would like to. We a couple of weeks ago, we had mentioned that on one of the calls, and I am waiting for Brad to send me some info on different links and things. That may take a while, but yeah, hook me up, man.
All right. Well, I mean, because you know, I mean, I don't know.
Well, if Joy puts me back on the mailing list, you know, for the for the rotation, yeah, I'm into it. I mind you, my skills have not advanced at all, but you know, if somebody can you know, help me again with, you know, piecing it together,
I can make you sound nice.
I would appreciate that, Bob, because you know, it didn't go very well the first time, and you know, but life goes on, and you know, some things have gotten under control, and yeah, I'd absolutely love to participate.
Okay, well, but are you sure you will? I'm just this is a question more for Bob than anybody. Are you sure you want to take him on and Brad at the same time? Well, I mean, you're not.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy doing it.
Oh, okay, all right. Well,
and despite the rumors, I'm relatively low maintenance. So,
I just, once I get you filtered up, you'll sound like a pro.
You know what? So what I need to do is just what happened last time. All those dropouts were because I kept hitting pause, and apparently it didn't. When I would unpause, it didn't bring the level up right away. So it kept sounding, you know, I got all these dropouts. So what I'm going to try to do, you know, next time is just keep going. And if there's, you know, some hemming and hawing, we'll just go for, you know, editing that out.